Good morning to you all. How are we all doing? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, please. And then put your other finger in Romans chapter 12. Okay, how are we doing? Great. 1 Peter chapter 3, and then the other place to put your finger is in Romans chapter 12. Good. Soft shoe move. Yeah, we're there. Okay, we're all ready. Steady. The man in the back said, everyone at... No, sorry. Some of you got that, some of you... Oh, so last week we spoke about breaking the chains that bind your mind. The lies that we subscribe to. Is this really loud, or are we going to... Should I calm down a bit? Talk after us. Okay, you fix me. And so today, I want to look at, I have a new mind. Oh, okay, let's try this side. This side normally gets a little bit excited. I have a new mind. I have a new mind. Oh, I have a new mind. I have a new mind. Turn to someone and say, I have a new mind. Convince yourself. I have a new mind. 1 Peter chapter 3. Helps if I get there myself. Yeah, what's that? Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 8. Finally, all of you. Some of you? No, all of you. Say all of us. There we go. Now we're pumping. Yes, all of you. Have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Who wants to obtain a blessing? Some of you haven't got a new mind, I can see, because some of you don't want a new blessing. Come on. Work with me. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to read from you know where. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, in the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So we did that. I have a new mind. Thank you, Vince. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. That's why I loved the pre-service prayer meeting this morning. We spoke about out of the abundance, Kevin prayed, out of the abundance of our heart let it flow. Louise came with the word that said, we walk by faith alone. And so we understand that coming together in unity and love and enjoying each other's company, if you could just put in the filter of your mind, put a little bit of a jigsaw puzzle, and that each one of you is a piece of that jigsaw puzzle. And who knows how ugly a jigsaw puzzle looks like when all the pieces are not in place. Doesn't matter how beautiful the picture you are, your eye is always drawn to the piece that's missing. And you don't go, oh, look at that nice jigsaw puzzle. You go, oh, there's a missing piece. Just saying. A renewed mind is a powerful tool in the head of the saint. I couldn't really say in the hand of the saint, could I? Okay. It guards us in discerning. Thank you, Betty. What did he just say? It guides us into discerning what is old covenant and what is new covenant. With the old mindset, we think old covenant. With the new mindset, we think new covenant. The renewed mind, it helps us to rightly divide the word of God. Helps us to apply the word of God correctly in complex situation in our day and age. It gets us to follow wholeheartedly after God with full passion and spills over spontaneously into hundreds of actions and attitudes which are unpremeditated. We have the divine ability in applying and understanding His grace and truth, which doesn't require a list of to-dos and behaviors and ticked off. It should be spontaneous and our response through His grace. It's the same as when we first start out and you learn to drive a motor car. I don't know, because we mostly drive automatics here, it's pretty simple. There's only two things you have to remember with your feet. You know, and obviously you don't put both feet at the same time. It's your one foot you're working. Who drives stick shift here? A whole bunch of you. Okay, so driving stick shift is not that easy. I remember when I was about 12, my cousin wanted to teach me how to drive. Bear in mind, in South Africa, you only get your license when you're 18. So 12 is a long way off learning to drive. His instruction, because I know how to follow instructions, there's one thing I do know how to do. Give me an instruction, I'll follow it. And he said, so because if you don't know, there's three pedals in a stick shift. There's the gear, to put it in, neutralize the gear. There's the accelerator, and there's the brake. His instruction was, as you put your foot on the accelerator, as you release off the gear. Not so. Because what happens is while you're accelerating, the car's in neutral because you've put your foot on the clutch. The car starts to go. And then it's screaming. And then you let your foot off the clutch at the same time. And what happens? It all engages. And the car sort of leapt forward. And of course, what was 2 foot in front of me? A big tree. And I remember it so clearly. It was an Anglia, an old Anglia. And where's the radiator on an Anglia? Right in the very front. And what happened to the radiator? And of course, my brother, who was 7, couldn't wait to go and tell mommy Mark crashed the car. The point I'm coming to is when we actually learn to drive, it's difficult at the time, and man, you hear the grating of the gears and the when you try and, but once you get it smooth, then you have muscle memory and you just get in and you don't even think and you're talking and you start the car and you put your foot in the clutch and you go, take off in first gear, you know, you're going off and off you go and it's all fine. You don't have to remember again. And that's the point I'm making. When we come to understanding the grace of God and living in His grace, it's not premeditated. Well, let me say something nice to Chris. No, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit in me just comes out spontaneously. And I just say something nice to Chris. It's a nice shirt you're wearing, Chris. I know, Susan chose it, don't tell me. Yeah, I know, I get it. Christian living lifestyle is not a willpower religion, as some people want to teach you. It's all your will and your power and the man inside you. Lies, lies, lies. Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's all about Him and His glory and how we live there according to that. It's through the overflow of a new mind, the renewed mind, the recreated heart, the new you, as we started off so many moons ago. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you are saved, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Colossians 3:10, and having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. It's a whole new metamorphosis. Everything in Romans 12 is about a new you, a new mind, a new understanding, a new heart. The result of the renewed mind, the result of the new mind is being able to discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That is the result of being, of having a renewed mind. I have a new mind. I am able to discern the will of God, which is perfect and acceptable. There's some indications in the unrenewed mind. If you say, well, if that's a new mind, what's an unrenewed mind? I'm so glad you asked. So I'm going to just use the same little spiral, and we're not going to, for time's sake, Romans 1, 21-28. But they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. So God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, and they went into idolatry, and they became idolaters. And don't think that was just them. We can idolize your brand new shiny car more than you can actually seek God. Or your new job, or your new... pick a subject. I don't have to go down the whole thing. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Gave them up to all kinds of... you can go and read it. Immorality. Every kind of sexual sin you can imagine. They did not see fit to acknowledge God. He gave them over to debased mind. And He gave them up to all kinds of evil. Go and read it. Three verses full of them. And some stuff you're going, wow, I didn't know that was evil. Now we could say all the evilnesses. And then we sound like a movie. But let's not go there. Sorry, where he did. So what is the clue for a renewed mind? It's to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. So what does a renewed mind look like, you say? I'm so glad you asked. Because we see the renewed mind deals with a life of worship. A life, and John Piper says this. He says, mission only exists because worship doesn't. And that's quite deep. So you need to think about that. Mission only exists because worship doesn't. Because if we worship the high being, again, not singing songs. Singing songs, I said to the guys on Saturday, was singing songs is worship 101. That's just where we start. But when we give glory and honor to Him, that is true worship in a full lifestyle. We understand that, we see that. What does the renewed mind look like? For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. There's so much in that one little verse. There's a whole bunch of thinking and thought processes and self-examination and reflection and sober judgment and honesty and review. And all boils down to one little word when we read the scripture in its understanding and the definition behind it. Pride. Because we all, at somewhere along the line, including myself, this I say we, are prideful and think more highly about ourselves and what we, how important we are and how gifted we are and how well we do something. It's always better to let someone else tell you that than you tell someone else. I'm amazing. Well, but I am. We've got to discern. Is that pride or is that stating fact? Because we are all amazing. You are all amazing. because you're heirs and sons and daughters of the Most High King. And God didn't make no rubbish. God don't make no junk. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't think more highly of yourself. Take a reality check about who you are in Christ and know who you are. And then we'll see, we go on and we're going to look at some other pieces. But Romans 11:18, do not be arrogant towards the branches. And what they're talking about is the branches, the Jews, the broken off branches. Don't be arrogant towards them. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. We are grafted in to Christ Jesus. He supports us. We don't support Him. Come to church on Sunday. Jesus, come with us and you do what we want to do. No. We come and honor Him and lift Him up and bring glory to His name. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. James 4:6. But He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes, and pride itself, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. Do not conform to the world. The problem with the fundamental human mind is that we are not submitted to God's authority. We're not as submitted to the authority that God places for us. We should be submitted to those that God has placed in authority over us. Understanding that when we submit to the Father who is all good, all lovely, all kind, all generous, all persevering, and we have the advocate, Jesus Christ, sitting at His side, interceding for us daily. Not as if the Father's going to mess up, but as that He's there to saying, when the enemy comes and puts the lie in your head and you go, and the Father says, what about Michael? He says, forgiven. So then we should ask the next question. So what is sober thinking then? How do I think soberly about myself? But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. What does that mean? We all have a measure of faith. We all walk by faith. Because faith is a gift. And we are not all equal. That's not fair. Why do some have a better measure of faith than me? Surely I should have the most measure of faith. No. Faith is the measure of thinking soberly about ourselves. Number one, the life of a new mind is faith-based. Faith-based. Wow. Choosing faith is a measure of the new mind. So what is the essence of faith then? And we should know this by now. Faith is not to look to ourselves, but away from ourselves to another, to Jesus. Faith is not looking at me and saying, well, I've got faith for that, I can do that. Faith is total dependence on Jesus for everything in our lives. And that's why we have these testimonies today. Coming up and saying, I put my faith in Jesus, I put it out there, we prayed, and the Lord answered. I think I've told the story. The guy who did the, George Mueller, started the orphanages in Europe. He had a book. One side he'd write down the prayer, on the other side he'd write the date and time when that prayer was answered. And he never ever, when he died, there were never ever empty pages in his book. They were always full. Some took a little bit longer. Can you imagine having, and maybe some of you have lived there, I've lived there a couple of times, where there is no money in the bank, and there's no food in the fridge. And your faith is so strong, you sit down and you give thanks. Empty plates in front of you and you give thanks. You know how we pray? Lord, thank us for this food. Thank you for strengthening our bodies. Thank you for the hands who prepared it. That's probably the gist of all our prayers when we say, let's say grace. George Mueller did that daily. Amen. Knock, knock, knock on the door. Door would open. There's the baker. Said, I had this overrun on bread. Here's the farmer. He has an overrun on milk. Can you imagine though the first time? You go, Lord, you're trying to squeeze this. And then afterwards it says, okay, kids, let's sit down. Let's say grace. Okay. Let's see what's going to happen. Let's see what's going to arrive at the door. How are we doing? How's our faith out there? South Africa, often we wanted to go on mission trips, Bridget and I, and we didn't have enough money for both of us to go. So we pray, Lord, if you want us both to go, we need 4,000, 5,000, in one case, 10,000. Depending where we were going. And she never, or I never went on the trip. We always went together. Why? Because God provided. From amazing different sources. Once we wanted to take a hip-hop band to the Philippines with us. And we needed 30,000. Whether it's rand or dollars makes no difference. It's 30,000. It's a lot of money. A businessman came to me on the Sunday evening and said, so when do you leave? I said, oh, in 2 weeks' time. He says, have you got all the airfares? I said, no. He says, how many airfares do you need? I said, we still need 3. He said, oh, okay. See me Monday morning. Went to his office. Pulled out his checkbook, wrote out a check for $30,000, said, here you go. Why? Because he was functioning in Romans 12. And some of you are gifted for that. Some of you have a higher measure of faith assigned to you by God for that. Tithing is not a compulsive thing so that if I give, then I'll get, and if I'll do this, and I'll get that. Tithing is a grace gift. But some of us don't have enough faith just to step out on the water. I know what I'm talking about. I can talk about it because I've lived it. We never had enough money at the end of the month. And we were both earning good salaries. Just that we had more budget than we had money. And so we used to play the Rob Peter Pay Paul thing. It's blank stares. No one knows what I'm talking about, right? Oh, you do? Okay. So we would pay the phone bill or pay half the phone bill and pay half the water and lights. The next month we pay the other half of the phone bill, then the next month we pay the rest of the lights to catch up. And every month we had, just we'll talk dollars, we had $300-$400 we were short. I came home from work one day and I said to Bridget, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how the books are going to balance. I don't really care, but we're going to tithe off the top first. And then when we've tithed off the top first, then we will pay. We have to have a roof over our head, and we have to have a motor car to drive around, and we need gas put in the car to get from A to B. And then we need the water and lights, and we need the electricity. You can hear where this is going. All our fixed bills we said we'd pay. And when we've got money left over, then we will buy food. I was really skinny in those days. I'm joking. So the first month we did that. Bearing in mind, every month we're $300 to $400 short. So we did that. And we had $25 left over. Did you pay this bridge? I did. Did you pay that, Mark? Yes, I did. Did you pay? Did you do that? Did you? Yeah, we paid it all. Good at spreadsheets. Got out the spreadsheets. It didn't balance. I couldn't make it balance. We still had $25 left over. On the way to church, the Lord says to me, give half of that away. So we take half of it, put it in an envelope. We get to church, and I say, "Who, Lord?" He says, "That family over there." Walk over. I mean, $12.50. The Lord says, "I must give this to you." They're happy. Next month, we had $50 left over. God says to us, "Give half of that away." Now, bear in mind, we have not had a salary increase. It's just the same money. We ended up giving between $500 and $1,000 away every month. And all our bills were paid, and all our food bills were paid, and everything was paid. And to this day, we've never lacked. That wasn't in my sermon, but I thought I really had to share that with you. He is the root. We are not sort of plugged into an empty thing. He is the source. I have no idea where I am on my page here. Faith-based. Look to Jesus, enjoy Him. To think soberly about yourself is to make faith the measure of your mind. When we view it from this perspective, when we see Jesus in His completeness, in His fullness, because that's what we're looking to, we're not like half empty Jesus, half this Jesus. We know Jesus in His fullness, in His completeness, in His full significance, in His full value. That's when our new mind kicks in and it says, I'm also significant, I'm also valuable, I'm also in my completeness and in my fullness, not because of me, not because of my smartness, but because of Him. And that's why we can truly say, I am the righteousness of Jesus, and we don't have to blink or look away. Or look down and look to the left, they tell me body language, that's when you're lying. We can say wholeheartedly, I am because of what He did, not because of what I did. And we can throw out all the other scriptures, seated in heavenly places and blah, 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 blah. When we have a high and a right view of God, we will have a high and right view of ourselves in Christ Jesus. And we won't be going, I'm not worthy. Who told you that? Jesus? No. God? No. Holy Spirit? No. Who do you think told you that? Now we're too shy to answer and we go, I don't know. No, you do. Devil came and played in your head and told you you're not worthy. In view of all that I've said, I have a new mind. I am the righteousness of God. When we say together, I want, Paul says, I want every man everywhere to raise holy hands. Well, I'm not so holy. I don't know if I'm holy because we have this, the hushed tones thing about holy. No, that's who we are in Christ Jesus. Number 2. Time is a-winding. But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Faith is not our own creation. Faith is not, I'm going to get more faith. I'm going to get more faith. I'm going to get more faith. It's not a willpower thing. It's a free gift that He gives us. And we go, okay. Just taking hold of it and applying it to our lives. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. This is not of your own doing. So what is it? It's a free gift. He actually assigns us our faith. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If you then received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Layman's language. We go around and someone gives me a brand new car. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then we tell everyone else, oh, I work so hard, eh? You cannot believe it. We don't really say, I work hard and I got this car. Or, I was so successful in my business and I'm just making tons of money. It's me and my gifting. No, Deuteronomy 8:18. Go and read it. See that? He gave it to us. Scripture tells us we cannot give away something that hasn't been given to us already. When we look at it and we say, and all we need to accept that He gave it to us. Look what God did for me. And that's why we love to hear the testimonies. Look what God did for me. Didn't say, I don't know who it was that prayed for Peter. No, it wasn't me. I don't want to know who it was. Chris, I'm just going to say, Chris prayed for me, and so therefore I now got healed and all this. No, one of the elders. It's good. It's good enough. We don't need to reflect on ourselves. You, whenever you pray for someone, you don't need to say, ooh, look what I did. Look what Jesus did. Faith is a gift from God. Our faith cannot boast in itself because it's not something we earned for ourselves. It was a gift that He gave us. Oh, yeah. Our pride is ambushed at every corner. We try this little avenue. No, the Lord puts a little block there. We try this little corner for our, because we want to feel good about ourselves. I get that. I want to feel good about myself. Who doesn't want everybody to like them? Come on. Exactly. Of course, we want everybody to like us. Are we going to rub some people up the wrong way? Yeah, that's what family is all about. Even in your blood family, it works that way. Last one. God assigns different measures of faith. That's not right. That's not fair. But you think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. He actually does it. Oh, that's not fair. Shouldn't we all be equal? No. I think I went down this road last week. If we were all equal in everything and gifting, because remember now we're talking about Romans chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12, and the gifts that are given there are what we would term the motivational gifts, or the gifts in your DNA. You either have it or you don't have it. You can't build the faith and get the gift. Poof, there we have another gift. Doesn't work like that. And that's why we need to build the jigsaw puzzle. So that each person is important and value in itself. So when we look at the jigsaw puzzle, we go, that's a great piece of jigsaw puzzle. But Caroline is missing. So the pixel doesn't look so nice. So look, where's Caroline? Okay, let's put it in. Oh, look at that pretty picture. Ephesians chapter 3 or 4 it is, the polyoikilos, the beautiful woven thread that is woven together the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about how we are the body and it goes on, and how we are different and we are gifted differently. And so here we have it again. So we can sit down and assess ourselves and find ourselves in a greater or lesser measure than the one next to you. How do you feel about that? That's when we should be going, man, I'm so glad you're in this body with me. I'm so glad that in my area of XYZ, Z, that my faith is not that strong, but I know yours is. Won't you pray for me? Won't you stand with me? Won't you link arms with me? And hopefully someone comes along to you and says, in the area of XYZ, your faith is so strong, will you help me? It's so not that we can be competitive. As I said to the guys yesterday, that's where ego kicks in. We want to be competitive. Listening to two guys praying on a radio station once. And he says, talking about binding the devil, which is bad theology to start off with. You can't bind the devil. Because if you can, then I don't know who let him loose the next week. Because then we've got to bind him again next week. And put him in a corner, you know. I bind you, Satan, and I put you in a corner. And you come back next week and I bind you, Satan, put it, well, didn't you do that last week? How did he get out of the corner? It's just bad theology. Anyway, the point I'm making is the one guy says, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And the other guy says, I bind you twice. I double bind you. And the other guy says, I bind you three times. Oh no, here's two guys praying on live radio. They one bind, two bind, I raise you another bind, I see your bind, I raise you another bind. What a bond. That's bondage in its best, yeah. Wow. We are not cloned, we are unique. You're a unique person. Each has their place in the body. But you know what the problem is? Is you're not satisfied with that, because you look at another gift and you want that thing, and you cast your eye over it and you look at it and you say, I want that gift. Well, when it comes to Romans chapter 12 and the gifts that are given there, you can find your gifting there. Don't be looking over your shoulder to see what the other person... The point is you need to be doing your gift. Because if you don't, then you're not in the jigsaw. And we want the picture complete. It brings an interdependence and a heart of servanthood to unify the body. When we are unified together. But if you never bring your strength, you never bring your peace, then it's, you know, like Jacob, we're limping along all the time. We never get to work because you just are too lazy. I'm not talking about anyone here, no, I'm just saying for those listening to the tape out there. Oh yeah. No man is an island. You cannot do this by yourself. You think you're an island? Have a look around. There's lots of water. Are you not swims in big deep water? Let's end. I'm not going to try and exegete or any of this. I'm just going to read these pieces of scripture. I'm going to try not, of course, because time is done. Verse 4, chapter 12, verse 4. As in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So this is not my idea, okay? This is scripture. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We are linked to one another. One body, one spirit, one baptism, one Christ, one God. We cannot be separated. We cannot, whether you like it or not, or you enjoy the person next to you or not, we are linked together in one body. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts or encourages, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So again, I think, well, why are there only seven? Well, I know seven, five number of man, six number of, five the number of grace, six the number of man, seven number of perfection, God's perfection. So now we see that we're not all the same. We're not all gifted the same. We don't have the same grace. We don't have the same faith. So it's like, why didn't God just make us all the same? Boring. Can you imagine all being like me? There you go. One of my greatest fans. Listen, if I can't take it, I wouldn't say it. Or better still, imagine us all being like you. We are unique. He has made us. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knew us. And He created with all our wonderful intricacies and idiosyncrasies. All our wonderful syncrasies and idiosyncrasies. And then finally, I have a new mind. Say it with me. I have a new mind. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on the other person, now on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay you, says the Lord. To the contrary, If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord, we thank you that we have a new mind. Thank you for the power of your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that we are precious in your sight, that we are the apple of your eye. Thank you, God, that we are the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that we are clothed in his glory, in his righteousness. Father, let us take these words to our heart, Lord. Let us, in our differences, in our different gifting, in our different faith, based on the measure that you assign to us, Lord, let us be complementary to one another. Let us honor one another, Lord. Blessed be your name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.